And I want to talk to you this morning about how we have to face up to who Jesus is, how we make decisions and what it means when we've made a decision. And so in Mark chapter 8 there, verse 27 at the beginning, we heard Jesus speaking to his disciples. And they went to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. And as they were going on the way, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" And so let me now read from that gospel. Please would you stand. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way they asked him, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. And so let's look at how we face up to who Jesus is, how we make decisions and what happens and what it means when we've made a decision. At the beginning of that reading, Mark 8, 27, on the way he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" This is a question about third parties. Who do people say that I am? It's about other people and their opinion. Wonder if you've ever engaged in what they call vanity surfing. This is where you put your name into Google or a search engine and you see what comes up. I'm sure that none of you have ever done that at all, but if you ever have, it's quite intriguing. So you enter your own name into Google, you do a search, and you see what other websites, what pages they've got about you. Interestingly for me, quite a few things from St. Martin's and the Parish of Well come up still. But if you search for the name, for my name, Paul Markham, you get actually a tribute artist called, an Elvis Presley tribute artist called, his name is Pure Presley. And no matter what I do, he always seems to be there. And this is where your reputation would be revealed, and if there's any scandals, they would be hard to shake off. I have to say, I'm not an Elvis Presley tribute artist, although I have been known to dress as him to go to a fancy dress party. But the first question that the disciples were asked was about reputation. Who do people say that I am? And of course they then replied, well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say one of the prophets. And then Jesus makes it an incredibly personal question. He looks at them directly and says, "Who do you say I am?" It demands an expression of an opinion. These disciples were with Jesus all of the time. They were watching his every action, the miracles, the healing, the deliverance. And at some point in our lives, we are all faced with the question about Jesus. Who do you say I am? We might begin to express that along with the opinions of others. Maybe in the early days we kind of thought, well, other people thought this about Jesus, and so I'll kind of go along with that. But we have to work through our own answer to that question. Who do you say I am? And eventually it becomes a direct question to ourselves and requires a direct answer from ourselves. But before we look at that answer, let me second just ask you how you make decisions. You see, when it comes to decisions, we're all very, very different. We all approach them differently. Some will go on their intuition, they'll make a decision on an internal feeling, and they just know it's right. Others will gather lots of data, lots of evidence before making a decision. And when you're a couple, it can be really infuriating, because the chances are one just wants to get on with it and the other wants to see and examine all the data first. And I think my wife finds it annoying that I am someone who likes to gather lots of data. I like to look at specifications and look at all the manuals and all of that things. And she'll just go by reading a review that she's read in the paper or magazine and say, well, that one looks all right. And I say, no, no, let's look at all the specifications. And we have this tension between making a decision. Incidentally, Liz sends her love to you all today. So when it comes, though, to a decision about Jesus, when he says to you, who do you say I am? You may approach that in different ways. Maybe you look at a number of different aspects of the evidence. Maybe you firstly look at his lifestyle. Maybe secondly, you do look at further the evidence. And maybe thirdly, you look at the claims he made. So as we think about Jesus and our response to him, what about his lifestyle? What about the things that he did? Jesus must have been the most extraordinary person to be around. You know, sometimes people say, Christianity, oh, it's boring. Well, it certainly wouldn't have been boring being with Jesus. Can you imagine how it would have been to go to a party with Jesus? Do you remember one time he went to a party and the wine ran out? And he said, you see those stone jars over there? Stone jars, fill them up with 20 or 30 gallons of water and start pouring them out to the guests. As they did so, they poured out Chateau Lafitte, 45 BC, or similar. Imagine how it would have been to go to a hospital visiting with Jesus. Remember one time he went into a hospital and there was a man in there who'd been an invalid for 38 years. And he said, get up, take up your bed and walk. And the man walked out of the hospital healed. Or imagine going on a picnic with Jesus. Don't bring any food, come as you are. Or imagine going to a funeral with Jesus. Remember one time he went to a funeral and when he arrived, the person had been dead for 4 days. And he said, take the stone away. And they said, we can't do that. There'll be a terrible smell. He said, just take it away. And the man came out, wrapped in his grave clothes. And Jesus said, untie him and let him go. Well, maybe that was the lifestyle that the disciples had in making their decisions. But there's also the evidence. And you might remember that after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to a group of the disciples, but Thomas was not there. And when these disciples, who were friends of Thomas, said to him, Thomas, we've seen Jesus risen from the dead, Thomas said, oh, I'm not going to believe that. I'll only believe it if I actually see the nail marks in his hands and my finger in his side. But then Thomas was given the opportunity to examine for himself. In John 20, verse 20, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger in here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Thomas made a personal decision there and then. Or maybe if you're not convinced by Jesus' lifestyle or by the evidence, there's also the claims. What did he say about himself? Well, obviously, claims like these need to be tested because all kind of people claim all kinds of things. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There are even people who say they're Elvis Presley, resurrected from the dead. So we have to examine all claims. C.S. Lewis put it like this. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said wouldn't be a great moral teacher. He'd either be insane or either he'd be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else insane and something worse. But don't let us come up with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He hasn't left that open to us. He didn't intend to. That's the words of C.S. Lewis. So I want to encourage you this morning, as you are faced with that decision, who Jesus says, who do you say I am? You may say, well, I've already made that decision. But I want to say to you, keep exploring. Keep looking at the evidence. Keep refreshing your faith. One of the things that I loved about going to theological college, I gave up my work in electronics and I went for 2 years to theological college in Bristol. What I loved about it was the way that the Christian faith was so open to being examined. And so I came again with my kind of engineer mindset that wanted to get to grips with the archaeology and the history. And you know, when it says something in the Bible about a place, it was great for me to know that the archaeologists had dug up that place and found that it was, as it says in the Bible. And I found that over those 2 years of exploring theology, I was able to deepen my faith. And it can stand it. And I want to say to you this morning, keep your faith fresh. You know, there are schemes that the diocese has, theological education schemes that will allow us to explore our faith so that we don't remain at one level, but we are people who can go in a greater depth, and there is a huge amount of depth to be there. So as we think about the ways that we may respond to the question of who Jesus is, let's also keep our faith fresh and examine the evidence. Well, the third aspect is when Peter made a decision, and he said an answer in Mark 8:29, he said, you are the Messiah. I remember when I was trying to decide to ask my wife Liz to marry me. I can say this because she's not here this morning. I remember it well. I remember being almost certain, but not quite. And I had some conversations with some friends and people and said, how on earth do you know? I'd always made decisions in the past based on the facts. But here I was faced with a decision of being in love with this lovely woman and thinking, how do you make this final decision? Is this the right one for me? And so I had to kind of move with faith, if you like, into an area, maybe I was 99.9% certain, and I had to go with faith for that other 1%. I wonder what Peter made here. He had been with Jesus, the disciples had seen him, and he answered to the question, who do you say I am? He said, you are the Messiah. In other words, you are the Christ. Now, if I was to go around, each of you will have made that decision in certain ways. Some of you, it will be maybe Sunday school early years, maybe some of you being prepared for baptism, and it was part of the baptism preparation or confirmation. And so as part of those, you have made a commitment and said, I believe, Jesus, you are the Lord and Saviour. Or maybe it was attending church and then gradually saying it, being confronted with a creed that we're going to say in a few moments' time, where we will declare a lot of aspects of our faith. We will say we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ. We will say that we believe in the Holy Spirit. We will declare our faith in the words of the creed. You know, I have a marriage certificate to show that I was married at a certain date and a certain time. If you have been confirmed, or if you have been baptized or somehow admitted to the church, you also will have some sort of proof. And it's good to have that, because there are times when the devil comes along and tries to tell us, you're not a Christian, you haven't said those words. And it's actually useful to have a certificate or something that says, this is when it happened, and this is when I decided to give my life to Christ. So let's be as confident outside as we are in the church. As we declare our creed in a few moments' time, let's recognise that we've each faced that decision of Jesus saying, who do you say I am? Each of us have responded in our own way. But the fact that we say the creed together indicates that we are all here of one mind. That we say, Lord, you are the Messiah. You know, there may be someone here who is thinking, well, I've kind of come to church and I've gone along with things, but I haven't actually made that decision. And I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe today is the day that you want to do that, to firstly admit the things that you've done wrong, to secondly believe that Jesus died for you, and to thirdly invite him into your life by his holy power. And if you wanted to pray that prayer, please do so today as we say the creed, and then come and tell me or someone afterwards. Let's be confident in our decision. We've made a decision. Isn't it wonderful that we can truly express it in our service today? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give ourselves to you. We thank you that your Holy Spirit has drawn us here today. Thank you for the journey that you have placed each of us on, the journey that each of us has made in you, maybe some from almost before we could remember, and others in later years. But Lord, thank you most of all that you have drawn us into your presence. Thank you that when you say the words, who do you say I am? We respond and say, you are the Lord, you are the Messiah, you are the Christ, you are our Saviour. And Lord, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit as we pray the words of this creed today, as we declare our faith in you, in Jesus' name.